to episode 30 of the Woke-ish podcast. This is Ebony.
And this is Zalma.
This week we will be hitting y'all with some life skills we learned in adulthood. Things that nobody talks about. They're kind of just mysteries until, boom, you're on your own and the world expects these things of you.
Yeah, and you usually learn them after it's too late and
trial and error. But before we get there, we will start with our shout-out segment.
Yes, and so I'm sure many of you have been following or heard of or seen pictures of the massive fires in California. So I wanted to start out with a shout out to the firefighters, the first responders, and particularly the inmates fighting the California fires for the past week. I was not aware that they actually utilize inmates to as quote unquote volunteer firefighters. And it's just, you know, I just don't feel like they're getting enough credit or enough praise, at least for this. So shout out to all of them. Shout out to anyone who's risking their lives and their health for people's homes and people's lives. Hopefully these fires end soon. I'm so amazed it's been like a week and they're still going on. So hopefully, you know, we'll see the end to some of these fires. The death toll's rising, and I just know from having family members who are, or extended family members who are firefighters, this cannot, when I see pictures, I'm like, oh gosh, it's so bad for their lungs, it's so bad for their health, like constant, like days, hours of them just inhaling all this smoke is gonna have so many consequences, and so shout out to them.
I mean, hopefully, I don't know, I mean, this is nothing but climate change,
you
know?
I mean, yeah, I mean,
it hasn't rained in LA in like 8 months.
That's which is an odd,
you know? So it's a desert. So many houses have burned down.
And it's spreading like so far, and the winds are,
and it's like legit, like you can be, so like my family lives maybe 40 miles from there, maybe 30 or 40 miles from there, but like the soot will be on your car.
That's crazy.
From 40 miles away.
Even not firefighters, like civilians are probably getting negatively impacted their health by all this.
People have been like, there are really high rates of like asthma and other breathing related health issues among people in LA, just because like the air quality is so bad in general
already.
And so it's like this on top, you know, you get warnings of it, like stay in the house, don't go outside if you don't, unless you have to, you know, avoid physical activity. People still do it though, because you know they're so like, okay. And
our second shout out, so by the time this is published, it will have already been Veterans Day. And even though I personally don't support the militarization of the U.S. or the negative consequences of our wars to many people across the world, there are people in my life that I would like to take the moment to thank for their service, and particularly men of color. I don't know women of color personally that are in the armed forces, but I do know a lot of men who were Marines and who did tours. And people do it for different reasons. Some people like the narrative of I do it for my country, but I know particularly a lot of people do it because it's a job and it brings them finances and benefits for their family. And I'm never going to judge someone for trying to, especially without a college degree, to find a job and do a job that will provide for their family. So thank you to people who for their service, whether they, whether I agree totally with how the military is being used as propaganda by this administration, I do want to just specify that, political opinion aside, the people themselves are those who I want to take this opportunity to thank. So thank you, and shout out to all the other vets out there. And then, I mean, I can't wait to buy her book. But First Lady Michelle Obama, you know, released her book Becoming. And then she also did an interview where she was not only vulnerable, open, and honest, but, like, talked about the things that we all really wanted, you know, to know about, which is how all the criticism and all the racism and all the sexism impacted her. Because I think she did a really good job about never, during her the presidency of Barack, kind of pointing fingers or letting it show that it was so hurtful, but to hear now that she was in a lot of pain from a lot of, and a lot of anger from a lot of things that were being said about her family, and even talking about the death threats that they received, and about, yeah, them talking about her daughters. And it's just, I can't wait to read the book. But definitely shout out to her, just because I feel like she's so graceful, and I'm so glad that she's honest. And I respect her for waiting until after to be open about it. I think not only was it gave her an opportunity to just make it about Barack and his presidency, and take away from the opportunity for people just to keep throwing more stones at her, but also gave her an opportunity to have space from it so that she can really just kind of reevaluate her experiences and her feelings and be more clear about looking back about how it felt to be the first lady of the first Black president. So shout out to First Lady Michelle Obama. I can't wait to see all the other projects that they have, and I can't wait to read my copy of her book.
And our last shout out goes to United Realty Group for firing Liliana Olenek, who was videotaped harassing Black demonstrators last week, who were supporting Andrew Gillum during the recount. So she, I mean, she's just really obnoxious and irritating to watch.
Yes.
In addition to the other two white women that, you know, were helping and, you know, egging her on. But she said, like, a bunch of things that she, like, she was asking them, you know, why are you supporting him? Because he's Black? It's all about race. It's because he's Black, isn't it? Right? Right? Because he's Black? And just, like, poking fun at them and all that stuff. And then she, at the end, tells them to go back to Africa, mm-hmm. which we are speculating is the reason why she was fired.
Yeah, yeah.
So, shout out to her employer, her former employer, for recognizing trash and letting her go.
And people for uploading this trash and helping people be so enraged that her employer was forced, I think, to fire her, to make a statement or something. It's what I love about social media. One of the positive things about social media is that although you find so much racism, it's also an opportunity for you to be able to hold people accountable for the racist shit that they say.
Yeah, so, you know, toodles to her.
No, toodles. Toodles means bye.
Yeah. You're like, no. Yeah. No, shout out to her. No. Like, goodbye to her.
Okay.
And shout out to United Realty Group. They fired her, so they have a vacancy. So if anybody out there is looking for employment, you know, you can go and replace her. You need a glowing letter of recommendation, we got you. Okay, so now for our In the Know segment. And now for our In the Know segment.
Yes. So, more trash this week. First, starting off with, so apparently the entire 2018 male white class of Baraboo High School in Wisconsin. When I first saw this, I thought it was going to be like Alabama, Mississippi, but this is fucking Wisconsin. Throw up the Hitler salute during their prom photos. And this photo has been circulating on the interwebs. And so as a result, a lot of people have been calling out the school, but even including the Auschwitz Memorial. So they sent out a tweet saying, this is why every single day we work hard to educate. We need to explain what is the danger of hateful ideology rising. And it's just so frustrating that in 2018, like less than a month after the shooting in the synagogue, you can have such a tone deaf picture. And I am waiting to see what how the school responds. But that, you know, I there's just so many people who don't get things they deserve, like jobs or into college or anything, for a stupid mistake they may have made when they're young. But because these people are like male and white, I'm sure that it's just going to be written off as a, what do they always say? Like a poor judgment. And the fact that it was the entire male class of this school. So these are seniors that are entering the workforce. They're going to go to college. That are voting. And so just wanted to highlight that just to kind of remind, although I don't think we need reminders.
we are painfully reminded.
But daily. That even, you know, something as freaking Hitler is still not... it's not a universal no-no.
Yeah.
So shame on Baraboo High School. Shame on this 2018 male class. And I really hope that they're held accountable. And that, you know, I saw some people suggesting that maybe they're off any offers to universities.
I'm sure that's what's going to happen. So, you're going to hear them and their parents crying about it. It's like, you thought it was funny. But you're, what? That's so insensitive. Yeah. Like, that's beyond insensitive. I wish there was another word. Like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
You know? And it is. And I don't know why these
And they were all smiling. I don't understand why, if that's supposed to be funny, if that's supposed to be... It would make more sense to me if they were all, like, Nazis. And it's like, okay, you're doing your Nazi thing. But these are just, this is just a male class who decided that this is just something probably funny to do. So, yes, starting off this in the know with that story and then slowly building to more trash.
You know what I wonder? I wonder when these kids are going to recognize the era that they're in. And it's like, you're on the internet. They have to be on the internet more than we are.
Yeah.
Like these, 18. Like, you know, yeah, college or high school seniors. You see people getting their college offers revoked year after year after year, and yet you do this?
Yeah.
People getting, adults getting fired, and you do this?
I think it's just their entitlement that they just don't, they have probably never been held accountable for a lot of things that they've done, and so in their mind, it didn't equate with, oh, if I do something, it might have negative consequences on my life in the future. Because they probably haven't experienced that before, which is not only, I mean, if I were the parents of these kids, I would be issuing an apology, and I would be say, I would make my son issue an apology, send it out like to social media and say like, that was wrong, I'm sorry, as opposed to waiting to see what negative consequences. The parents should be embarrassed, the sons should be embarrassed, the family should be embarrassed, the school should be embarrassed.
People don't think that raising their children in that way or in preparation for being in the real world is something that they should be concerned about.
Yeah.
Like, I heard yesterday or the other day, I was listening to this podcast, and the host was talking about how a little girl punched her daughter. Her daughter's 5 at school. And the mother of the little girl, the puncher, mother of the puncher, her solution was to have the little girl bring a pillow to school that she can punch when she can't control her anger.
Mm.
That's the solution. What? And it's like, this is how parents are raising their children.
Yeah. I mean,
and so,
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. It's like, can't expect anything. You can't expect any more from them than you can from their kids.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely it's... It's, to me, it's more than holding these boys accountable, but also their parents. And then transitioning to our second in the know story, I don't know if you guys have seen this video or heard about it, but she's currently a senator, Cindy Hyde Smith, a white woman of, surprise, surprise, Mississippi, was caught on video saying to one of her supporters, quote, if he invited me to a public hanging, I'd be in the front row. And the reason why this is worse than, it's one, it's a fucking weird thing to say. And two, her opponent that she's running against is a black man. The voting continues this weekend in a runoff, so it's actually really important. The thing, aside from her being like a person and a senator, it's especially important because people are still trying to figure out if she's going to keep her job or not. And then making it worse in a press conference afterwards. So she issued a statement where she said, I used an exaggerated expression of regard, and any attempt to turn this into a negative connotation is ridiculous. Mm. And then in the press conference, when journalists, you know, did their job and tried to ask her, like, what did you mean by your statement? Were you aware that about the history of lynching in Mississippi? She just kept saying, my campaign has released a statement and I'm not going to comment it, just over and over and over. And it's just the lack of even recognition that this is something that in her state that is a dark spot in their history.
I still don't understand why black people live in Mississippi.
But I just, like, I've never, ever, ever heard anyone in their life casually use, if he invited me to a public hanging, I'd be in the front row. One, like, that's weird as fuck. Like, that's, even if it wasn't about a black person, you'd really, like, be in the front row of a public hanging. Like, that's so fucked up.
So, is that what she was saying? It was supposed to be a metaphor?
She's saying it's an expression. And I'm kind of like, well, I've never fucking heard this expression. And two, if this is an expression, it's still a fucked up one.
Yeah.
And three, like, given the context that she's a white woman, she's in fucking Mississippi, her opponent is a black man, which, as we know, were targeted by lynch mobs, which were, like, in this state, legal. It's just, it adds up to, like, bitch, you needed an apology, not just, like, if you're trying to make this bad, then something's wrong with you. And that just, it always makes me so upset to be like, maybe it is racist and you just don't realize it because you're racist. And every other thought is racist. And so because this is just like every other thought, it doesn't seem that different. So yeah, that was really frustrating. But hopefully, I mean, you just never know. But hopefully this causes some people to care enough to not vote for her again. But as we've seen with other states, in the South, like Florida and Georgia, racism runs deep. Yeah. And
you know that there are plenty of people who heard this and are now flocking to her.
Oh yeah, who are like, yes. And what makes it icing on the cake is she's a Trump supporter. Mm. Yeah.
Surprise.
Yes. So, you know, last week we talked about midterm elections and white women, and, you know, this is just another white woman who is claiming to be a victim of the media flipping this into something that it's not, when I think if he would have said, oh, if you invited me to a rape, I'd be in the front row, he would be done.
No, yeah, of course.
And so it's just, even the same, if it was flipped, like, still running against Senator Cindy, if he would have said that and then later said, oh, it's just an expression, like, he would be, Trump himself would come out and say that he shouldn't be eligible to run.
Shouldn't say things like that.
Yes, which is,
they think it's funny.
Yeah.
I would say that I hope that Mississippi voters come out and do the right thing, but honestly, I don't have faith in them.
Oh, no, not
I don't. I mean, when it comes to my faith, it runs out in the deep South. I just don't have it.
Yeah.
Southerners are just not the people to rely on. And so, I mean, I pray for actually everybody that is living there that's having to deal with this, you know?
Yeah.
That's living there and having to deal with the fact that this could be their senator.
Yeah.
Things like that in 2018.
Yeah. And then having a lot of people support it by not
Which lets you know that even though we may no longer be in a time where something like lynching is permissible, we do live in a time where people can still talk about it gleefully.
Yeah.
And just like it's just, like yeah. it's just, like it's nothing. Like it's nothing. Yeah.
That's why I always make the point of changing the laws isn't enough.
Yep.
So just because a law is changed or a law is taken away, it doesn't mean that the culture changes. And so that's why we need both. And so when people are like, yeah, but lynching isn't legal anymore, like, what are you mad about? It's like, because of this, because a white woman in 2018 can make a joke about a lynching with an opponent being a black man who historically would have been the target of those lynchings.
And maybe she can't lynch anybody today, but there are other things that she could do that could have a similarly detrimental outcome.
Yeah.
She has power.
Yeah. Okay. And then Trump news. So Trump attacks 3 black female reporters. I read it was over a course of 3 days. So Trump is not new to attacking women, but particularly black women.
Yeah, he's been going hard this last week.
He does not like black women. And so I'm going to kind of give a brief overview of the 3 black female reporters and exactly how he attacked them. So the first was Abby Phillip. So Phillip is a CNN reporter and former Washington Post journalist. And she drew Trump's wrath on Friday after she asked him whether he hoped Matthew Whitaker, Trump's appointee as acting attorney general, would, quote unquote, rein in special counsel Robert Mueller's probe of his presidential campaign. And his response was to say, "What a stupid question that is. What a stupid question." He didn't answer the allegedly stupid question, but he did pour more contempt on Phillip, saying, "I watch you a lot. You ask a lot of stupid questions." And remember, this is a president talking to a reporter. Yeah. The second was April Ryan. And so Trump said of Ryan, a reporter for American Urban Radio Networks and a contributor to CNN, "You talk about someone who's a loser. She doesn't know what the hell she's doing. She gets publicity and then she gets a pay raise or she gets a contract with, I think, CNN. But she's very nasty and she shouldn't be. You've got to treat that White House and the office of the presidency with respect." This loser comment about April Ryan came 2 days after he admonished her at a White House news conference when he yells at her, "Sit down, I didn't call you." As she tried to ask him about alleged voter suppression in the midterm elections. "Such a hostile media. It's so sad," Trump added as Ryan pressed him. "You rudely interrupted him." So kind of, you know, if you see these press conferences, everyone's yelling questions at the same time because that's how you get your questions answered. Like, there is no, not everyone, like, raises their hand. And a lot of times, I think it's just so that us, the viewers, can know that the, because Trump doesn't answer questions he doesn't like. And so I think a lot of times when they shout these questions, as a viewer, it makes me feel like, okay, like, they're pressing him. They know that this is, I want answers to this. Even if he doesn't answer them, I want the question to be asked. And so I think, like, it's just another moment, an example of Trump not liking being held accountable. And then the last one is by Yamiche Alcindor. I'm sorry if I mispronounced her name. But she asked, this was the one that made me so mad. She asked Trump about his recent characterization of himself as a nationalist and whether that label was emboldening white nationalist. He interrupted her and responded, "I don't know why you say that. That is such a racist question." He repeated by saying racist 2 more times. And then pulled out of his ass that he has the highest support among black people, which I appreciated another reporter later correcting him and saying it was only 8%. But the fact that he called her question racist he is racist!
Like, where does he get off? I don't understand. And the thing, So all of this, watching this was all, like, really irritating. Mm-hmm. Like, my jaw hit the floor. Mm-hmm. Especially the, you know, when he was saying, like, what a stupid question. Yeah. I was like, wait, what? Like, why is he able to, not why is he able, but why doesn't he feel like this is tarnishing his reputation? Because he looks ridiculous.
Yeah, he does.
Like, you look ridiculous losing your shit over reporters ask questions. It's their business. It's their job to ruffle your feathers. Yeah. Like, they're not going to ask you questions that they already know the answer to.
And they didn't even ask him, like, what's your marriage with Melania?
Like, no, it's like all political stuff. Yeah. But something that did occur to me is that maybe there are questions that he can't answer, that, like, he doesn't know the answer to.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's probably the case, and because he doesn't want to look like an idiot, his coping mechanism is to deflect.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna hit you where it hurts because I'm embarrassed that I don't
know the answer. Yeah, I'm gonna embarrass you before you get a chance to embarrass me.
Exactly.
And he's also racist and sexist, so a black woman. So the trifecta, a reporter, a black person, and a woman. And if you're all three, Trump
just too much.
It's too much for him, and his racist, sexist, media-hating mind can't handle it, and he goes crazy.
He's literally imploding.
Yeah, and I just wish more media, other media would stand up more and say...
Other than CNN.
Yeah.
Because it looks like, I mean, right now it looks like CNN and Fox News are, like, the only news outlets. Yeah. You know? And it's like, where's everybody else?
Yeah.
Just.
Or, like, ask their questions. Like, if he's not going to ask them from them, like, say, well, I want to know the answer, what, and then repeat it. Or no one show up to his don't televise his fucking press conferences. I mean, the only people who are going to watch his shit is people on Fox News. Yeah. And then they're going to take his shit for whatever reason. So, like, don't print his stupid lies. Yeah. And then, I don't know. I'm just kind of, like, it's just really upsetting to see the disrespect that he has towards these women. And particularly because they are women of color. And I think us being women of color, we just know that this being attacked by a white man isn't just in the presidential.
I can't even imagine, like, a celebrity doing that and talking to reporters like that.
No.
You know, and it's like, why is it that we tolerate this kind of behavior? And I mean, what could we do about it?
Yeah, I know.
What could we do? You know, because it's, I mean, I've never heard anybody just talk to people like that with just no care in the world.
Like, CPS, like, can we at least get CPS to, like, take away his kid? Like, no one, this would not fly anywhere else. And it's just because he's in that role that he doesn't deserve. Mm-hmm.
That he feels like he has the right to talk to people like this. Like, this is, you know, this is, like, his manifest destiny.
Yeah.
Like, I am here, I am mighty, I'm president, I can talk to whomever, however, and nobody can do anything about it. And low-key, he's right.
And it's only year two.
Yeah. And, I mean, of course, it's gonna, I mean, if we, another area in which my faith runs out is with white women, and I do feel like they're gonna help to give him a second term. And we're going to have to continue to deal with this for the next 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean.
Unless he just does something completely nuts and.
No, he's done something completely nuts.
I mean, but it's like he has time to really, really fuck shit up. And then if he does, then we'll do, like, you know, that. I mean, the trend is like, oh, go really hard Republican, really hard Democrat, really hard Republican, really hard Democrat. You know, like, we flip back and forth. And so I'm hoping that maybe, we already see some, but maybe it's fake, some fake turnover with people being disgusted, people that voted for him before being disgusted with him now, claiming that they won't vote for him again.
Yeah. Or at least, you know, all these new 18-year-olds who, or all these people who didn't give up. I know a lot of people who didn't vote for the presidential election because they were like, I don't like either.
Yeah.
So maybe that will flip, but definitely, like, you know, I was reading what some of these women were saying, which is, like, it doesn't matter how I'm treated, basically. I have to, like, it's my obligation to the people to seek the truth, and I'm just kind of like, good for them, because I don't know what the fuck I would do. I would quit. I'd be like, I don't need this. I don't need this in my life.
I feel like there's a little bit of power in that you can maybe so. From their perspective. Yeah, maybe it's like true. That they can get him so rattled that's that true. He just jumps. Well, I was going to say jumps out of character. I don't think this is out of character, but you know, like on television, he's just like,
I mean, he looks bad. Yeah. He's not looking good. I mean, in his mind, maybe, or just some of the racist people, it's like, tell that.
Yeah, stick it to her.
Yeah, but it's like, it's still really childish, and it doesn't make him look in control, and it doesn't make him look powerful, it's really uncomfortable to watch, and it's really...
He's way too sensitive.
Yeah, and it just makes him look really unstable, so...
Okay. Well, so I don't know. I debated putting this up and still debating, but the last in the know topic is Maddie Whitsett, who was a 9-year-old black girl living in Birmingham, who took her life Monday. A Birmingham family is grieving the loss of their little girl, who died on Monday after she intentionally hanged herself in her bedroom closet. So her father, Lieutenant Williams, said that the family is shocked by her suicide and that it came out of left field. Her mother agreed and said that Maddie was still alive, energetic, funny, loved to dance, etc. And so what this is kind of, this incident, this, terrible incident is shedding some light on, potentially, is ADHD medication that is being prescribed to children. And so this has been going on for a while. Like, I remember, I want to say I was in, like, fifth grade when suddenly a bunch of kids in my class were like on medication out of nowhere, you know? But they reported that Maddie had ADHD and was receiving one-on-one help at school because there had been some incidents. And her father said that, other children had also, her father said that she had also been bullied and that other children had called her stupid and dumb. And that it happened a lot last year, but that her parents met the principal and said that it was taken care of. But apparently the day that Maddie committed suicide, she had been bullied at school. And friends of hers said that, she looked really sad while she was being bullied and that she just was having a bad day. The ADHD medication, so in addition to the bullying, the ADHD medication that she was taking has side effects, multiple side effects, but one of them is suicidal ideation. And so some are speculating that that could also be part of what led to her suicide. Mm-hmm. I was debating talking about this because it is like so sad to think that a 9-year-old could be so sad that they want to take their own life. But honing in on the medication, the prescribing medicine, I think really illuminates how bad our medical industry is. And I mean, the fact that kids are just being prescribed so much medication these days for behaviors that, in my opinion, are kid-like, and without any kind of real, to the point where sometimes it's mandated in schools, or like the teacher will require it, or a counselor or something like that will say that, oh, your kid needs to be on medication, and then the parents feel pressured to do that, not realizing how the side effects might impact mm-hmm. their child. And I think we definitely need some reform as far as that's concerned. And it would be nice if, rather than, just putting a kid on meds, they're able to get some kind of behavioral therapy or something that's less invasive, especially this young.
So It's a really sad time for Maddie's family. And, I mean, working with people, working with family who have had children commit suicide has taught me that you just never know. We just forget how vulnerable children are and how maybe hearing, oh, she was called stupid and dumb, that doesn't seem that bad. But to a 9-year-old, like, that could be really, really just to the point where she doesn't want to continue anymore. And maybe it's beyond just those feelings. Maybe there's other things that were going on in her mind as well. And also, like Ebony said, to be aware that the medication that we're so freely giving to children, one, like, we have to be aware that they're not extensively tested because you can't really test children. And two, sometimes we hear things like, oh, side effect can be suicidal ideation or thoughts of suicide, and we just dismiss it because so many medications have that side effect. And we really need to be more aware and attention. And if children are on ADHD medicine, then like Ebony suggested, we need to make sure that they're also seeking psychological or help or speaking with a counselor so that they can just kind of check in and make sure that they're doing okay and not dismiss these side effects as just like, oh, something that most likely won't happen because I just, even if it doesn't happen to the majority of children on this medication or the majority of children don't commit suicide, to this family, like, those statistics don't matter. Yeah. And so really sad for Maddie and for her family. As we mentioned earlier, it was not a good week, but you know, we just like to focus on some of these stories so that we can bring attention to how we can improve as a society. And, you know, if any parents or future parents are listening, kind of things to take into consideration when these things kind of play out in your own family.
Okay, so now we will transition into our What's Being Slept On segment.
So I strongly suggest that you wake the fuck up.
Now for our What's Being Slept segment.
Yes.
So, as I said at the start of the episode, we are discussing life skills that we kind of stumbled upon as we've become adults or are still kind of becoming adults. Things that we kind of didn't know that we had to think about. And it was kind of just like you wake up one day and like, boom, you got responsibilities.
Yeah.
So we're kind of going to go through a list and just talk through these things, like, you know, how we found out we needed these things or maybe experiences where we weren't doing what we needed to do and somebody let us know, like,
yeah,
hey, now you owe this fee because you didn't do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Or looking at our credit report and figuring out what we did was wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So the first thing that I wanted to talk about, some life skills that no one ever taught me and I didn't even learn at school, is like taxes and how they work and filling out W-2s and how you need to report all income and what exemptions mean. And so, like, even now at 29, when I have to fill out W-2, so I've not only been a student, but I've worked. And even when I worked as in a job, I still didn't understand about my W-2s. And I felt like there should be a better way for us to understand something that is so important, because I've had people I know end up realizing when they're doing their taxes that they filled out their W-2 wrong. And if you fill it out wrong, it can cause you to have to pay, like, pay like hundreds and maybe even thousands of dollars. And I've also heard of people who did it wrong for decades, and then the IRS came back and was like, hey, you never reported this, or you didn't do this, or you claimed this exemption and that's not true. And then also some people just telling me, like, oh yeah, I claim my gasoline going to school because that's, or going to work because that counts as my, you know, helping me with my job. Just all of this stuff that I had no idea, and I feel like I'm slowly learning, but even now, like today, I was looking at my W-2 and I was just kind of like, I don't know if I voted that right. Like, no one's checking to see if I am. They just take my word for it. And now that I'm having a baby, being like, okay, like, so now what do I do? Like, how do I claim this baby? Like, what does that mean? And do I pay more tax? Like, it's just, it's so, I wish that I could have been taught more about taxes. I mean, my parents pay taxes. My siblings pay taxes, but I even think even amongst ourselves, we like don't know. Like, there isn't anyone in my family who, like, everyone goes to someone to get their taxes done. And I'm just kind of like, wait, how can you get $3,000 back, but my sister has to pay, but my mom only gets a couple hundred? It's just kind of like, I have no idea how this system works. And so this is definitely one of those life skills that I wish I could just be better at. And I, like, don't know, other than Google, which even if you Google, like, W-2s,
I think it's intentionally really misleading and, like, you know, difficult and, like, all, you know, it's pointing you in all these different directions because nobody wants to be liable. Yeah. Like, everybody wants to, like, protect themselves. So even if there is, like, a blog post about it, it's like, in parentheses, I am not an IRS. I'm not a representative from the IRS. Yeah. Like, please call your local office or whatever. You never really get all the...
Yeah, because the consequences to fucking up are so... It's, like, so much. Yeah,
the IRS is, like, low-key one of the scariest.
Yeah. Things. They can charge you interest for a mistake. Like, even if you don't know, like, it's quote-unquote your responsibility, but yet we don't have a class in high school or in college that's, like, okay, filing taxes, and then my parents, I don't even think they know because they have someone else do it.
It's just so dumb. It's like, we take all of these, like, prereqs in college, and none of them supply you with any life skills.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that make sense to take, like, an intro accounting class or something, or so that we could... So we at least know the basics about taxes.
And
the
especially since it's such a big, like, political issue.
Yeah.
Like, people rally around taxes and tax cuts. And I'm just kind of like, wait, tax cuts, like, IRS, like, W-2 tax? And then there's, like, state tax and federal tax. Yeah. And so
I didn't know that until grad school.
Yeah, and depending on, because if you live in the same state, you just, like, everyone has this. And then meeting other people in grad school that lived in different states, you're like, oh, your state makes you pay this? I don't want to live there because that's so much more taxes. Yeah. And then trying to figure out taxes, sales tax to me is really complicated. So, taxes in general.
They're doing all this money. Like, they're not repairing shit, but we got to pay all this money for it to go where? And who keeps track of it?
I don't know.
So, no mysteries.
Yeah, still a mystery to me. Still haven't figured out my shit. If you're a tax person,
if you're an expert, like, let us know.
Let us know. We can totally bring you ways. It's almost hitting 30 for me, and still, like, not one of those things that I could not sit down and tell you what every number means on my W-2. And I've been filling them out since I got my first job at 16.
So. I don't even know all the forms that I need. So second on this list are mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
So Zelma lives in a house. I have no idea how these things work. I don't know what paperwork you need. I don't know what the process is. I don't even know who you go to. Like, I know that you have a real estate agent. They help you find a house.
Mm-hmm.
You get a loan from the bank, and that's pretty much as far as my knowledge goes. I don't know. And I was telling someone before this that, like, my partner just recently got his real estate license, so I'm like, okay, now I can just default to you, and maybe I don't ever have to learn.
Gosh,
it just sounds so complicated.
It is. And even as I try to, like, I was trying to explain to Ebony, like, the little that I've learned, which is so sad because I filled out so much paperwork for this house that I'm living in, and I still, like, am not quite sure what it means. I just slowly learning, and I was trying to explain to Ebony how, so there's like this person at the bank whose job is to help you with your mortgage, which is basically a large loan from the bank that they're giving you to buy your house. And the way that the bank makes money is that they charge you interest for this loan that they're giving you. And usually you get a mortgage that, you know, takes 20 to 30 years to pay off, because depending on your house, you could be paying like a $500,000 house, a $300,000 house. That's a huge loan. So the way they make their money is they charge you interest. And what I didn't know until recently is that you're paying the interest first and then you pay towards the house. So what that means essentially is that, you know, like in our case, we've been paying towards this house for like 5 years and we haven't even reached the part where we pay owning the house. It's just been the interest rates. And that's so that the bank is guaranteed interest rates.
And so, they calculate what the total interest would be at the end of 30 years.
Based on this rate. Yeah.
They calculate what the interest would be based on like the principal amount.
Yes. And this at the interest rate that they decide based on your income and your credit.
And what if you were going to be able to pay it off sooner? Like, what if, you know, halfway through your loan or halfway through your mortgage, you got like a raise or a promotion?
Then you have to do it again. You have to refinance.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah, like
in order to get a lower interest rate.
Yeah, even in my student, even with my student loans, like there's some loans that say specifically not eligible for early payment. I can't pay them off earlier because I signed something with them saying this, I, based on the payments that I told you I could make over this amount of time, this is the interest rate that I'm going to give you. And this is how much it's going to, how long it's going to take me to pay. And so like right now I have the money to pay off this loan, but I can't because I already told them that I would guarantee them this much amount of money. And so with banks, if you, like, I guess you could, like, pay more, but the bank's not going, if you were like, hey, I got this large sum of money, I want to pay more towards, the, you know, the house, then they're going to have to redo it again. And so even, like, so if someone loses their job, if people get divorced, if you, that's why you have to, like, refinance, because then they have to start from scratch and be like, okay, we have to run these numbers again, because now the numbers change, and we really want to see, like, what they just want to maximize and guarantee their interest rate.
And so what if you have already paid off all the interest?
Then you start paying towards actually owning your house.
So I'm saying, like, what if you paid off all the interest and then refinance?
Then you just pay it sooner.
Okay.
Yeah, and then that's good. Well, some people have to like refinance because they can't afford to keep the mortgage payments that they have. Mm-hmm. So then they lower the payments, but you extend your loan and then you have to pay more interest because you're extending your loan. Mm-hmm. But now the monthly payments are less because usually the monthly, well, for us, the monthly payments have been increasing because you don't, what I also didn't know is like property tax. So you have to pay property tax each year, and property tax increases based on the worth of your house. And so the way that we do it is instead of paying it at the end of the year, paying like $12,000, we just spread it out, divide it in the month. So the bank has to kind of predict what they think the property tax would be, because that's something that the government decides at one point in time. They're like, okay, based on what we think your house is worth, this is how much your property tax is. But the bank doesn't want to wait until that time, so they just predict and say, we think this is how much it's going to be. So based on this number, we're going to add that to your mortgage. So you pay your mortgage plus what you would pay for property tax.
And then could your house potentially be worth more than what they think? And then you have to pay more.
Yeah, which has happened to us. Mm-hmm. So at the end, we had to write a check. But it also, you know, what a lot of people do is they protest it and say, my house isn't worth that much. I haven't made this resident, which my mom does every year. And then they lower it a little, and then, or the bank messes up and the bank is like, oh, we actually predicted it would be higher than it was, and the market didn't change that much. And then you get money back. Yeah, it's, I know, it's a mess. And I've been living in this house since 2015, and I, like, all this I learned, like, last year.
It's just so much.
And no one, like, there's no class on this.
Yeah, why can't we petition to have something like this included in prereqs?
Yeah.
I would have gladly taken a class.
Because this is really important.
A life skills class. You know, where, like, yeah, every week you learn something new about how to survive as an adult.
Yeah, I mean, this is more important, honestly, than reading Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Like, when have I ever had to know in depth? When has being like, I read all of Romeo and Juliet, worked to my advantage, but yet not knowing taxes and more how mortgages work has really worked against me?
I think it's all a part of their system, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the fewer people know how taxes work, the more money the IRS is owed.
Oh, yeah, and the banks, if you don't know how it works, then they can just... They could today tell me, like, oh, no, this is how much, and I would believe them, and I'd be like, okay, well, the bank's telling me that this is how much I owe. I don't, why would I argue against it? Yeah. So the next thing is something that I've learned recently, which is getting paperwork for a baby. I guess it never occurred to me that you actually have to, like, get a birth certificate for a baby, get a social security card for a baby, do all these vaccines. I guess I just figured that maybe the hospital would be like, here's your card and your certificate. Nice. And it's not how that works. Even the doctor, my gynecologist, isn't like, okay, so these are the months you have to have your baby. It's just kind of like, that's on you. Like, you're supposed to ask them and say, okay, like, you know, you look for a pediatrician. I mean, even going to, I'm 8 months pregnant now, and she was like, so do you have a pediatrician yet? And I was like, oh, should I have to do that? It's just kind of like, oh,
why
yeah.
Why are you referring someone?
I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I have to look for a doctor for this baby. And then figuring out, oh, this baby needs proof that he is a person. So I need to get a social security card for this baby. And in order to do that, I need a birth certificate. And, like, where do I do that? And so all things that my mom never told me, that even other friends who had babies weren't like, oh, yeah, did you know you had to go to the social security office to get your baby a social security card? It's like, no, I honestly thought the government would know I gave birth and mail me a card. But now I have to go do that myself.
They could make it easy for you. They really could.
Yeah, they could have it all.
Like, you know the ins and outs. Like, y'all do this every day. This is your job.
Yeah, there should be
my first baby. I don't know all the things. Yeah. Because it's like, that's so much responsibility on top of, like, giving life to this person.
Yeah, now like, you have just to make sure that, like,
he's recognized by society as a person.
You just, you know, did however many days in labor. If you had a C-section, you just had surgery. And then on top of that, like, don't forget, you have to fill out this paperwork to make sure your baby recognized by the government. Yeah, so that's definitely paperwork for a baby is a life skill that I did not know. In addition to just, like, figuring out how my body is making this baby and how I'm going to give birth to this baby.
Do you know now how your body's making it?
I've learned only through freaking... apps,
and it's because like, no one told me. Your body is just figuring out how to grow a person.
Yeah, I mean, I took freaking, like, health. I'm a health researcher, and I still had no idea. Like, I was like, oh, really? Babies can listen? Babies can dream? Babies move? Babies pee?
Babies backflips?
Yeah, like, babies, like, it's just so crazy. And so, yeah, so much stuff about babies I didn't learn in school. I didn't learn in college, even taking child development. Like, I knew, like, embryo, fetus, but I did not know all the week by week what's happening to my body. And so, yeah, just one of those life skills that I wish but as Ebony and I were saying, thank goodness for Google and the internet and blogs and apps, because, I mean, my mom had babies, but she had them more than 20 years ago, and shit changes. There is some stuff that people did that they don't do anymore. Like, when my mom was having a baby, the husband wasn't in the room. And so,
he couldn't be?
No, it was frowned upon. I mean, she had us in Mexico, but it was frowned upon for the husband to be in the room. And so now, it's the other way. Yeah, it's like, if the husband or the partner isn't in the room, then that's bad. And so just, like, times change and things change, and I wish that there was a way that I could have learned all this stuff without having to figure out how to do it on my own.
And then maybe you can, like, take notes and journal and stuff so you can just pass it on to me.
Yeah. Do a little how-to guidebook.
Yeah. Okay, so another thing, insurance. Insurance is something that I mean, I think it's ridiculous. I think that insurance is one of the most price-gouging things that exists. And only because, like, so much of it is mandated, right? Like, there are all these insurance companies that are making gazillions of dollars off of us. And it's like, what are we paying for? Especially if you never even have to make good, like, you never, if you never have to file a claim or anything, they just get to stack up all your dollars over the years. So, I mean, there's car insurance required, homeowners insurance required, renter's insurance kind of, sort of, not required depending on where you live, but, I mean, it just kind of makes sense to do it. Life insurance, something that I still have not figured out. And may put off having to think about it until I decide to have a baby. But it's just like all of these insurance companies. And then, you know, I learned a lot actually about homeowners insurance while I was working on this research project. People whose homes were damaged in a natural disaster. And so many of them thought that their homeowners insurance covered it, and it did not.
I didn't find out until
now I need to, you know, cash out on this. And you mean to tell me I've been paying into this for 20 years and I can't even use it when I need it?
I didn't know that natural disasters weren't covered.
It's like they're super specific. Like, your insurance policy literally has to say the words. Like, and there's so much variation. So there could be a fire, there could be a flood. But the flood depends, did the water come from inside or outside the house? That's different. You know, it's like, you know, was there a crack in your ceiling? Is it leaking? And that's why it flooded. Yeah. That's different. Yeah. And I mean, earthquake related, tornado related, on, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And your policy literally has to specify that it's for these things. Otherwise, like, you could potentially not be covered.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just crooks. It's so fraudulent. Or like the countless situations or incidences that you hear about where people like had cancer or something like that, and then the insurance company stops paying out, and now they have to like sell their home or refinance their home, and then they end up going bankrupt because of medicine and treatment. Like,
oh my gosh. I mean, I was looking at my insurance policy because, of course, you know, having a baby, I had to figure out what was covered. And, like, one of the things I was telling you that I didn't know is that, like, you have to have pre-authorization, like, to give birth. So as I'm giving birth or up to 2 days after, I have to call the insurance and say, hey, gave birth to this baby, so they can cover that expense. And then for the baby, you have to call your insurance and be like, hey, this baby's born, put him on the policy. And you have 3 days to do that for this particular policy. But another fucked up thing is, so I was looking at everything, and under, like, organ transplant, they have a maximum that they cover. It's like $100,000.
For
like,
everybody?
For people who are in the policy that I have.
Okay.
So if you get an organ transplant, they'll cover up to $100,000. And knowing people who work at the medical center, and like I know someone who worked doing heart transplants, that's not even a surgery. Like, a surgery is more than $100,000. And so literally with this insurance, you'd be maxed out. Like, you'd have to pay out of pocket for your surgery.
It's intentional. They know that.
And that's not the recovery, that's not if you need another one, that's not the so, like, all this money would just go on paying towards part of the surgery itself, and not after. And then you're fucked after that. And I was just kind of like, I just could not believe that, oh, just because you have insurance, I thought, like, I would be good. But no, the insurance can set limits and say, well, we're only going to cover up to this amount of money, and after that, you're on your own. So then it's kind of like, what's the point of having insurance?
And it's, like, not regulated, you know? And it's, like, I mean, this is the country that pretends like it cares about, like, oh my gosh, Trump just has his panties all in a bunch about healthcare and, oh, repeal and replace. And it's like, you don't care about people and their health coverage.
Yeah.
Stop faking. Like, what?
Yeah.
Nobody cares. There's nobody there to look out for us.
And the next one is one life skill that I actually learned through trial and error. And this is paying bills and signing up for utilities. And so I did not know when I got my first apartment that you had to set up your light, your electricity, and your water before you moved into the apartment. so that it could be there when you move in. And so I definitely did not have power or AC in my first apartment because I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know that you had to set up your own electricity. I really thought it came with the apartment.
And it would make sense for it too. But you know, it's like they... another thing that they pretend is that they want us to be, like, all autonomous. So it's like, oh, we don't want to set it up for you because what if you want to go with this other company? It's like, no, it would make sense if wrapped up in your rent, you just pay all of these things.
Yeah, if one provider did everyone instead of, I mean, they have that with cable and stuff where, like, they have a provider do that. But I did not, and I also didn't know you had to set up your internet. Yeah. I didn't know that.
And that can be so irritating.
Yes.
Even today, where, like, everybody has internet, for some reason, every time you get ready to set it up, they're like, okay, you can do it yourself, and then you go to do it yourself, and it's not working.
Yeah, and I didn't know you had to return those things.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, I definitely have thrown stuff away, being, like, done with
that. And they're not going to tell you right away.
And then they're like, you call, and then they're like, okay, just send us in the mail, and I'm like, what?
It's gone, actually.
Yeah, and so... yeah, definitely didn't know how utilities worked. Definitely didn't know that it really, really fucks up your credit if you don't pay your utilities. And that's something you're responsible for. And maybe some people are laughing and they're like, ha, but it's so common sense. But it's like, my mom never told me that. She never told me that I had to do that. And of course, theme of the week, school or college didn't teach me that. And so... this is one of those life skills that I definitely wish I could have learned earlier because I really, it really sucked my first apartment where I had to use candles and open my window because, and then you call and you're like, I don't have power. They don't give it to you in an hour. They're like, okay, someone will come tomorrow.
You're like, I don't have power. They're like, we know.
So, yeah, definitely something that I wish I would have learned.
Yeah. I mean, well, these are things that you'll be able to teach your kid.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so next, saving. I mean, my gosh. I don't know. Apparently, and these are things that because I'm not, you know, technically employed, there are still a lot of things that I don't know about this, but... I know about 401ks and that, you know, certain employees, they'll do matching and all this stuff. Yeah. And it just, like, takes some money out of your paycheck and sets it aside for you, and yada, yada, yada. Or you can, you know, save on your own, or you can get IRA.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, so there's, like, there are lots of ways of saving that I still have not completely figured out. But that, yes, I mean, it would have been nice to have a class on or to be told, you know, fresh out of college that, like, okay, these are your options, especially with pensions and things like that being so limited and Social Security being basically non-existent. Like, you know, it's important to make sure that you're thinking about these things. But at 21, 22, you aren't. And then before you know it, you hear people talking about it and you're like, what is that? Yeah. How can I get that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's
I also didn't know, and I think it's more common now with people our age because before you used to stay at a job for 20 to 30 years and now you don't.
Yeah.
I did not know that. So when I had one of my jobs, well, both of my jobs, I paid towards this 401k every paycheck. I did not know if you leave, you don't take it with you. So all that money that I paid, it's gone. And I mean, I think you have to work like a certain number of years, a ridiculous number of years before you can take it with you. But I was just really pissed to be like, well, I at least wanted to be like, can you give me the money that I paid back? Like, at least that
like
part.
The money that you put in?
Yeah, but no, you don't get anything back.
And then it's like, what do they do with that money?
I know. It's so fucked up. And so that's something I didn't know about 401ks. And I think something that, given how people in our generation don't stay at jobs as long as people used to, that's something that's really going to end up fucking us over. And so for you guys that are paying into a 401k, just, you know, you may already know this, but if you leave your job and get to get another job and you've only been working there a certain number of years, that shit doesn't go with you. And so maybe it is in your company, but in
the millennials are like, you know, really notorious for turnover.
Yeah.
You know, because we want to be happy. And so it's like, oh, I'm not happy here, I'm going to go over here. I'm not happy here, I'm going to go over here. But
yeah,
they keep your money.
And then the next life skill that I'm terrible at is car maintenance and checkups. So having to do with oil change, tire rotations, checking the air in your tires. I'm terrible. This week I had a flat tire. Of course, I didn't know how to change it. I didn't even know where my spare was. I was just like, where could it be? I know it has to be in the trunk, but there's like a little, you know, a false bottom. And I was like, how? It's just. And then when I went to have a change, they were like, you know, what's the tread on your tire? I don't know.
Yeah.
Does your tire, is there a lock on your tire? I don't know. And it just made me feel so dumb being like, I'm fucking getting a PhD and I can't even verbalize to this person.
That's why, because you've got your hands full. You're doing a lot.
Yeah, and I definitely don't take my oil change as regularly as I should. And when they ask me if I want synthetic, or, see, I can't even think of the other one. I just say what's cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't do my tire rotation. And so when they tell me about alignment, I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, that's like, is it necessary?
Yeah.
Like, that's like a bougie thing. That's like a luxury. Tire rotation. Like, yeah, that's like a luxury. That's not like maintenance, you know? Like, oh, I mean, I guess it is maintenance, but it's not like, oh, if I don't do this, my car could eventually fall apart. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I think about it. That's how I prioritize things. Like, yeah. I need new tires, but do I need them rotated? Like, not really. I mean, it's like, who's letting go of the wheel?
I can't even remember the last time I had my tire rotated, which may be terrible. And then warming up the car, I still don't know if that's something I need to be doing or not. I warm it up for like 30 seconds, but I don't even think that is helping. And I kind of know what the wiper fluid is, but I didn't know you had to, for the wipers, you have to refill it.
Oh, you do?
Yes. It'll eventually run out because there's a limit. You like fill, there's this little.
Oh, it's not water?
No. Well, mine is, in my car, they actually put wiper fluid.
Oh, I thought it was water. I don't know. Like when you turn on the thing to clean it.
Yeah.
And then it sprays. I thought that was water in there.
Oh, I don't know. Or maybe some guys just made money off of selling me wiper fluid.
You were like, yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, and then like just so much stuff about cars that I wish I knew.
Yeah.
Oh, and then jumping your car. I've had to YouTube it so many times still can't figure out. Like, if you told me now, like, hey, what goes what, I wouldn't be, like, on the phone, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I have to look it up on Google, and I have to look up pictures.
I don't trust myself to do that. Like, nah. If somebody needs a jump, I mean, hopefully I don't need a jump. If I do, I'm calling, like, AAA or whatever. But if somebody needs a jump, they're going to have to be the ones to do the wires and stuff. Because I'm not going to risk killing myself. I've done it before,
but I definitely should have been less, but I don't know, looking back, it's like I don't think I took it as seriously as I should have.
I gotta just put this little thingy here and this
So car maintenance and stuff like that is one of those life skills that I wish, of course, my mom didn't teach me, and not having a dad around, didn't have someone to teach me that either. And so, and you know, there's no class. Maybe there's a mechanic class.
Yeah, like it's supposed to be when you're in high school, you know, but they rarely put the women in there or the girls.
Yeah, looking back, I would have, if I had a second chance, I would totally be like, fuck this English literature stuff. Let me go to this life skill stuff.
Yeah, what electives did you take?
Anatomy.
In high school?
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
That was my elective.
I was like, I took choir. I did take art too. They tried to put me in music, but I hated it, and like walking around with that recorder, like I just didn't understand.
That's the instrument they gave you?
Yeah. Recorder. Yeah, so I didn't do that.
Yeah.
But no, it's like, yeah, they did have the auto mechanic class or whatever. But,
yeah, I didn't do that. I did theater.
Oh, that really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I still wish that I had done theater.
Looking back, I should have done auto mechanic.
Yeah. So, something that could have been put to use.
Yeah.
Okay. So another thing that I don't know about that, you know, it seems like everybody just kind of figures it out as they go, but it's like marriage related stuff, you know? So there's all this stuff that you're supposed to do that, you know, goes beyond like a wedding. You know, everybody just talks about the wedding, but you have to do paperwork.
Yeah.
You have to like go to the courthouse and you have to like, women have to do, like, not all women, I guess, if you're going to change your name, you have to do something
to do that. Legally.
You have to, there's things that you have to do with your taxes.
Yes.
There's just so many things. It's like, I mean, you don't just get to love this person and go on with your life.
Credit cards, if you change your name, you have to change your credit card because the name on your credit card is different.
Yeah.
Your driver's license, your ID, your passport. You're even fucking like Blockbuster. No more Blockbuster. I don't even know why that came to my mind.
Oh my gosh.
I think like all gone. Costco all gone. Or like any of those membership things. You have to make sure email addresses, registry at schools if you're still in school, Facebook, Instagram, if you want to update, like so much stuff that you have to do that you don't think about until you realize that, this is, and then just like remembering anything that you have to sign now, if your legal name changed, it's not valid anymore, so you have to have it changed. One of the things that I didn't learn, that I learned too, late was if you buy an airplane ticket before you change your legal name for your honeymoon, it's not gonna match. And so I had to bring my marriage certificate to be like, hey,
I'm sure people do that all the time.
Yeah, which I think is why they let it slide, but it's still kind of one of those things where you're like, oh shit, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Like, yeah, it doesn't match my stuff because that's not my name anymore.
That would not have a
crazy. So yeah, stuff like that you have to.
And even after you've told me, I probably still will be that person. Like that, just like
if you have TSA, you have to do it again or update your name because it's now different. So that's wild. Definitely things that they don't teach you or tell you.
Yeah. And I mean, thank God for Google because I don't know where I would be.
That's where I got. This
I mean, stuff I guess from. I would probably have to ask them questions. Because now I don't ask questions, I just Google it. But yeah, maybe they would like that too if I was like, oh yeah, how do you do X, Y, and Z? Because yeah, I'm just like, I don't know how I would figure that out. I don't know how people before the internet figured out how to do life.
I know, me neither.
I don't know. I mean, good for y'all. Good for y'all.
Next thing, a life skill, something, you know, that we talked about a little bit recently, but the importance of midterm elections. Definitely didn't know that there was other elections other than the presidential elections. And I also, one of the things I didn't know is that they're your designated voting locations based on where you're registered. Yeah. I also didn't know that if you register as a Democrat, you can only vote in the Democratic primary. If you register as a Republican, you can only vote in the Republican primary. And that may not, like, matter to people, but, you know, one of my tactics was going to be to vote against Trump in the Republican primary so that he wouldn't be the Republican candidate. And then I learned that you can't do that. You have to.
You learned that they were one step ahead of you.
Yeah. And so it's just kind of like, oh, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah, but not like, something I knew.
I wonder how they anticipated that.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even want. So basically, we're silenced. Like, they're like, we don't even want to hear your voice right now. Yeah. Like, you picked your side.
Yeah. Yeah. You're stuck. Yeah. So you're, you know, you can't. So it really forces you to stick to one thing instead of being like, well, I'm traditionally a Republican, but I really like the Democratic candidate more.
Yeah. What if you vote? What if you register independent?
I don't know. Because I guess the independents have their primaries, too.
Because kids, growing up, I didn't know that, like, I thought that your political identity was just your political identity. You know, I didn't realize that like you registered as something and it was like this is how they kept a tally, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that it was like, okay, based on how many votes this, you know, person gets and how many votes this person gets, this Republican person gets and this Democratic person gets, that's how they determine how many, you know, people there are on either side. But I guess that wouldn't make sense because there are people that are Democratic but vote, Democrats but vote Republican and vice versa.
Yeah.
So it's necessary to... I guess it's necessary to register.
And even now, I wouldn't know how to change it. Like, if you wanted to change it,
I think every time you register, you can, like, if you move, well, I guess you can re-register whether you move or not. But if you move, because I move every year, like, I always have to, like, redo it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and then credit. Credit, like, taxes is one of those things that you can say and people just, like, are just like... Credit can F you.
For years.
Oh my goodness. And important years too. Because, like, you know, I think about people that maybe, you know, effed up their credit at the end of college, like maybe right after college.
Yeah.
And then it's like, now you got effed up credit until you're in your 30s.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, and then I still am very suspicious about that 7-year thing. Because supposedly, after 7 years, your credit is just kind of like wiped clean, like it's new or whatever that they say. But I'm like, do I buy that? Can I just, you know, F up my credit, move somewhere for 7 years, and come, like, move out of the country for 7 years and come back and then it'd be like new? No. So, among other things that I, like, didn't know when I transitioned into adulthood is that there are a lot of factors that impact your credit score. Mm-hmm. Not just, because I thought it was like, oh, okay, you make your payments on time, you're good. But it's like, no, it also matters, you know, how much you're paying. So they have a set kind of minimum payment, like the minimum that you can pay that will count toward whatever this balance is. And usually that's just to account for the interest.
Yeah.
And so if you just continually make these minimum payments, like, it's, you're not paying toward the principal, and the principal just stays. And so there's that, and then there's also your asset to debt ratio. And so if you, that's the way that they describe, like, how much you owe, right?
Relative to
it. Okay, yeah. So how much you owe relative to, like, your income.
Yeah.
And so if you make $20,000 a year and you owe $10,000, it's like, God, like, you know, this is not good. And the really interesting thing that I learned, I want to say right before I came to grad school, is that not all debt is the same. So credit card debt is a lot different than student debt. Mm-hmm. And looks a lot different to student debt to other lenders. So, like, if you're trying to get a house and you got hella, like, credit card debt, that is going to be a red flag.
Yeah.
Versus, like, student debt, that looks good. Like, it looks like, oh, okay, this is a trustworthy person. This is somebody that went to school and, you know, this is good debt. Not to say that you should go out there and get, like, $300,000 in student loans, but it's not as bad in the eyes of lenders. But, yeah, if you're one of those people that's just, you know, paying that minimum payment, I want to try to switch it up. Even if you can only pay a couple dollars extra, like, you would be surprised how far that goes.
Yeah. I also didn't know it mattered how many credit cards you have.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you have, like, inquiries and stuff. Yeah, so if you have a lot, that's not good.
Yeah.
Even if you're paying them, even if they're, like, and this includes, like, Macy's cards, Gap cards.
Yeah, every time you walk in the store, they try to sign you up for a credit card. I
didn't know that that counts as a credit card.
And they're like, oh, you know, you want to sign up for this card to get $10 off? No.
Yeah.
No, just pay the $10 and keep it pushing. and like, also, if you're someone, because I've heard that this is a thing, that folks that have, like, bad credit, right? It's harder for you to get new credit lines.
Yeah.
And so some people will just apply to a bunch, like, say, I think that I've heard people say, like, something like within a 24-hour span, that it's not reported on your credit report until 24 hours post. So I've seen as a tactic, apply for a bunch in one day and see if, like, you can get one or whatever. And that is bad. Because then you have, like, all of these inquiries on your report.
Everything now, shows up.
Yeah, and now with the internet, like, you can check. You know, you can check your credit report for free.
Yeah.
You can check your score, your FICO score for free.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a credit card, you can go online and just check it. Or even your bank.
Your bank does it.
And so I would say, like, check it out. See what's going on over there. If there's anything that you need to dispute, do that. We gotta take these credit situations seriously because
that'll fuck up your life when you're trying to get an apartment.
Or a car.
Or a car.
Or any, like, apparently even, like, utilities, they'll charge you, certain utilities require a deposit in certain areas. And they'll charge you, they'll require a deposit if you have a worse credit score, worse credit history. So, like, if you have a tendency to just not pay things, you know?
Yeah.
Then they'll charge you a deposit. If your credit is better, then they won't. And so it's like you could end up effing yourself over in the long run. Like, maybe you don't care about your credit, but you do care about having to shell out that $100 to get your cable turned on.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know.
And that shit adds up. You know, it doesn't, you don't think, you'll be like, when? I don't need cable for a while, but then once it comes time to do it and you're like,
Now I gotta pay this deposit.
Yeah.
There are just all kinds of ways that credit will get you.
Get you. Having to put more down on your apartment, having to have higher income for an apartment or a car.
Higher interest rates. Yeah. Like, you know, so maybe you might be able to get a car, but maybe you gotta pay a high interest rate.
Yep.
Which means that you're paying more money over time than other people. You know, it's just, So, yeah, you try to maintain good credit.
And then our last life skill is that we talked about this. Yeah. We both did not know that your physical health changes a lot as you age.
Yeah.
And then not age as in like 20 to 50, but just like 20 to 30.
Yes.
Or 20 to 25 or 25 to 30. Your metabolism slows down. You can suddenly develop allergies. Some people suddenly become lactose intolerant. Yeah. There may be things you've always eaten that you can't eat anymore. You may start getting heartburn.
Yeah.
And then there are also age-specific health exams that you're supposed to get at a certain age. So, for example, like having to get a mammogram at a certain age, or colonoscopy, or a prostate exam for men, or having to have, like, your yearly wellness exam for women, and the screenings, and just all the stuff that you need to do. But, yeah, definitely as I aged, it's something that I've learned. And, like, being pregnant, too, it really matters what age you are when you get pregnant. And so they literally have, like, okay, so, I mean, someone recently just told me if you're over 35, you know, you get in, they don't let you go further than 39 weeks now. And so, like, after 39 weeks, if you haven't gone into labor, they'll induce you because it's riskier for the mom. And, you know, like, being 29, I'm like, oh, I'm not at that age yet, but if I want more children, then that's something I'm going to have to take into consideration for the next kids that I'm going to have. And, like, even my doctor was like, well, over 32, we kind of pay more attention to you. Over 35, it may be starting to consider a higher risk. And it's just kind of like, that's not even that old.
Yeah.
But it's just the way that the doctors treat you differently.
They try to make you feel old, high risk. Like, oh my gosh, with the way that technology is. What, Janet Jackson popped out a baby at 50? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And now, it's craziness. It's craziness. I feel like the teenage years, like once you're done getting all those routine shots and stuff, those teenage years are the sweet spot. And then you start getting into your 20s and it's like, you always had, you know, I feel like one lucky thing is that I always played sports. Like, I was always really active. And so I didn't worry about those things. But then, in spite of the fact that I have continued to be active, it's like you just gain weight just because.
Yeah.
Like, the weight is just that it's
you don't change anything.
Yeah, nothing changes. Yeah. Not the way that you eat, not the way that you work out. Nothing changes. But the time.
Yeah.
And the age. And, like, And it's like, how are you? Literally, I have to Google to find out, like, what things I'm supposed to be doing at the doctor and, like, how often and stuff. It's like, you don't know. You just don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for all y'all out there that are aging along with us, you know, and especially those that are in their late 20s. Just late 20s just sounds so crazy to say that I'm in my late 20s. Oh my God. I don't feel any different.
I know. As long as I still feel like I'm 24.
Yeah.
It's like, am I not 24?
Yeah. Like, when did that happen? Yeah. Overnight.
Yeah.
That's when it happens. I don't know if we have any young listeners, but if you're young, enjoy.
Yeah.
If you're younger than 25, turn up.
Yeah. Yes. Because.
Don't let them tell you not to.
It definitely changes. Your body changes. Your life changes. So, you know, if you already...
How you can stay up changes.
Yes. Like, how you process your hangovers. Oh, my
God. In college, I used to go from partying, right? Thursday or Friday night until 2 a.m., 2:30, 3 a.m., and then get up for work at 5:30.
Yeah, yeah.
No. And 2.5 hours of sleep, I was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't even need a nap. What? No,
yeah, I used to be able to go out day after day. And now I can only go out once a week.
Yeah, now it's like, you know, my boyfriend want to go to the movies, and we're like,
I know,
it's like, at 8:30.
I know, I'm like, 8:30, like, oh my gosh, I'll be good. And then, you know, I won't be in bed till like 11:30, and it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Oh my gosh, okay, so that wraps up our 30th episode. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you got a few chuckles out of that.
Yeah, if you already knew this stuff, we'll hope you could at least laugh at our mistakes. Yeah. If you didn't, then, you know, hopefully you learn from our mistakes. And if you're right there with us, then hopefully you're also like, yeah,
that's... Or if you're more advanced than us, if you're older or you just know more stuff just because, and there's some stuff we left off the list,
yeah,
let us know.
Because or if we have it wrong, then yeah, please
exactly
teach us.
Right. There are things that I think I know that I don't know.
Yeah. And so if you have any feedback, any comments, as always, email us at woke.ishpodcast@gmail.com. Or follow us on Instagram at Woke-ish Podcast. We try to give you guys a preview of each clip. As we mentioned last week, I am kind of gearing up towards the end of my pregnancy. So in the first couple of weeks of December, we're going to have our last episode of the season. And then we're going to take a brief break and then be back next year. So we'll let you guys know as that gets closer, but just kind of priming you guys so that you just don't think we abandon you and stop doing this podcast.
Yes.
So thank you so much, and until next week.
Bye.